It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Have you ever had a friend who feels badly about her or himself? And it's a friend that you really wish could see themselves as you see them. That's the impulse behind the Raw, Honest, Loved project. It was founded by Alana Taminga of Washington State, and she recently brought her project to Decorah, Iowa, with the help of a determined group of high school girls. But we're going to get to that story a little later on. We will start with the genesis of this project, and Alana is on the line with us. Hello, Alana.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm excited.
And this project started back in 2013. Can you tell me what your idea was that gave birth to this project?
I was experiencing some, I guess you could call it, adult bullying of sorts. It had begun somewhere in October of 2012, and it was ridiculous to me. I just thought, you know what, at the time I was like, I'm 34 years old. What is going on? We're not in junior high school. Why do women need to trash talk each other? And this was from somebody who I like barely even knew. I had like two times of contact with this person. So I just kind of thought about it. I was really angry for about a week and then decided that was too much of my energy being put towards something so ridiculous. And so I just started kind of doing some research and really came down to the fact that, you know, we do this to other people because of insecurities. We hate something about ourselves, and so we take it out on other people. And so I just figured, you know what, maybe we needed to talk about this. I think communication is power, and if we just all kind of we're able to communicate the stuff, maybe that would do something. Maybe if we could talk about it, we could change that.
All right. Now, a lot of us have had those conversations, you know, about this problem. And a lot of people have observed it and experienced it and been hurt by it. But the whole idea of sort of tackling it and trying to do something about it, especially with adults. I mean, I think a lot of us work with kids to try to help them through this kind of problem, but tackling it with adults seems incredibly difficult. And you decided to use your skills as a photographer. How did you come up with the idea for how you would attack this problem?
You know, that's still, I still don't really know. it just kind of happened. I had put out a blog about this issue, and I was just irritated. And then I basically said, okay, I want to do this thing. Any of you women that want to talk about insecurities and let's, you know, tackle this a little bit, then we're going to have some wine and we're going to do this night. And it just happened. It just kind of came. I don't even know how the idea of the photos came to me, but I basically asked these people to just send me in an insecurity write-up, like a paragraph or more, about what it is that nags them daily, you know, that voice in your head that just doesn't go away. And then they sent that to me, and they sent me 5 to 10 friends and family members who could, you know, relay to me some positive things about them. So basically, we were just getting together to have this night to discuss this and, you know, see what happened. It wasn't going to be a thing. It was just going to be this night.
All right. So you asked people to write about their insecurities, and you've shared those also on your blog. Did they know? Was that part of the agreement? Okay, you share your story, and I'll also be able to share this with other people?
Yeah. And again, I don't know why I thought of that, but I just, it was something, like I'm saying, about communication. I just think if you can put your story out there and somebody else can benefit from it, then more power to it. So that was an agreement in the beginning, and I actually somehow was a professional and actually had like photo and video release forms in the beginning. We've video recorded every single group too. So I have all of this documentation. I don't know how I thought of it then, but it just kind of worked out that way.
So the way the project works is that you collect this paragraph or I'm sure it's more in some cases about and it's almost been all women, although you have done this with men as well, but it started out with women about a woman's insecurity. But you don't share that with the list that they send you.
No, I didn't want I didn't want the others to know that. I didn't want it to end up being some kind of shallow complimenting that would go on, you know, like, oh, you don't think you're good enough. You're absolutely good enough. You know, I wanted it to be genuinely, this is just what I love about this person. This is why this person is remarkable. Not knowing that this is what they think about themselves. So, I just wanted, you know, the stuff that comes through is like the stuff of eulogies, actually. It's stuff that you hear after somebody's gone that you just go, why didn't we say that?
Why didn't anybody share that?
Yeah, exactly.
And with the people who come together, that mm-hmm. first time you were just asking women that you knew, but you often have groups of strangers come together. Is it important that they don't know each other well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's been really, really interesting the way it's evolved. The first group, yeah, it was a bunch of friends, basically. And then the next group, we did a group of teens because we realized this was all stuff that we, you know, have been doing since we were teens. And these insecurities have stuck with us since then. So we decided to try to tackle it then. Then I did 55 plus women because I just thought, okay, maybe we get over them. Nope, we don't. But just thought about that. And then after that, it's like I had to find people for those groups. But after those first three groups, I had a list that was starting of people here in Tacoma that had seen the project and wanted to do it. So I've just been doing it based off that.
Interesting. Well, to give people a feeling of what it's like, I want to share, this is from one of your first sessions. This is mm-hmm. from a woman named Mona. And as I mentioned, mm-hmm. you ask people to share their insecurities. So I'll read what she wrote.
Yeah.
She says, okay, so I wanted to go with the standard too fat and too old to have a four-year-old, but I decided to be a bit deeper and vulnerable. Takes deep breath and here goes. I'm afraid that one day I will wake up and everyone that I deeply care about will have stopped loving me, that somehow I'm secretly undeserving of their love and that they will realize I'm not worth it and leave me. Because of this, I work really hard to show everyone who I care about how much they mean to me. But no matter how secure I feel in my relationships, I've been with my husband for 20 years, good relationship with my mom, many of my friends go back decades, I still have that little seed of doubt that maybe I didn't do enough, care enough, listen enough, give enough, etc., to deserve their love. There you go. That was hard. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm fat and old, she adds on to the end. So even from the very start, people were digging really deep to share.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And hers was the very first one to be read. And I got to tell you that she started reading that and the entire room broke down. Like every single one of us was in tears because we felt for her, but also because we all were like, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've felt that. I know exactly what you mean. And that's what goes on with every single person. Every single person that raised their insecurity, you can relate to them. Whether you would have thought that in the first, you know, 5 minutes of meeting them or not, or the first years of knowing them until they say something like that, then it's this very real moment of connection.
So after they share their insecurity, and mm-hmm. when you look at your blog, you see these beautiful black and white photographs of people holding a little slate, a chalkboard,
right.
and you sort of sum up their insecurity on the chalkboard. And
yeah.
then you take another picture where you share some of the positive things that people have said about this person on little chalkboards as well. But when somebody shares their insecurity, you've already collected these stories from the people who love them, who care about
yes.
them, talking about their strengths. So how do you share those with the person who's just shared their insecurity? What happens next?
So right after they read their insecurity, I'm kind of a jerk. I offer no words of comfort right then. I want to capture them in that moment. So I take them over directly after reading it and take their photo. So that's why those photos are so emotional, so many of them. So I take them over right then. And then directly after that, we go back and we kind of discuss, you know, the insecurity and whether somebody has, you know, people start talking about how they can relate. And then directly after that, I read them the awesome things that their friends and family have written about them. If there happens to be a friend or family member who wrote in about them that is at that group, that they're a part of that group, then they read it to them, which also can be really emotional. So what was my point?
so they listen. They listen to those stories.
Yes.
Which yes. I'm sure is a very emotional experience. Do they talk about how that makes them feel?
Oh, you know what? Half the time, yeah, they comment on the fact that that's the hardest part for them. Like, it's really difficult for them to read their insecurity, but the really, really hard part is to hear these things. Like, hear these super positive things about them that they just aren't thinking about themselves all the time. You know, their friends and family aren't seeing the insecurity about them. They're seeing these amazing things about them. So, yeah, that's often the most difficult part of it, for sure. But I read three of them to each person because they could have, you know, 10 people write right in, but there's not time to share all of them. So I read three of them, and then I send them away with a booklet that I've made with everything in there, so they have it to keep.
Do you take a picture of them after they hear the positive things too?
I do not, but we do record them the entire time. Like, we video it the entire time. And then I generally, with each group, I will have another photographer who is taking pictures as the night's going on. So just kind of some candids that are happening. I don't get them right after, but there's a video that we've made as just kind of a collection.
Right.
And most of the tears that you see in that video are ones that you're seeing in response to them hearing what their friends have said about them.
I'm talking to Alana Taminga of Tacoma, Washington. She is the founder of the Raw, Honest, Loved Project. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about bringing that project to Decorah, Iowa, and how that came about. But Alana, when you first did this, and you know, it was just kind of an idea that you had, and you put it together, it sounds like it was sort of born fully formed.
Right.
And you shared this on your blog. What kind of a response did you get?
Oh, it was kind of incredible. I wasn't really expecting much. I thought, you know, my friends would see it, that sort of thing. But I would just go to a store or go somewhere around town, and if somebody knew that that was my thing that I had done, they would then tell me how impacted they were by reading so-and-so's stories. There was always somebody that they could relate to, and they would remember that person's name. Like, I saw Melissa's story, and it touched me, and, you know, that was incredible to me. I didn't realize that these people would be really reading them and really relating to them, and that it was going to help people that were outside of the group. I was hoping for something inside of the group, you know, and that was just a whim. Okay, we'll see if this works. But
Right. That's
why it's continued. It's just because it's touching people that I would have never expected.
Have you heard, I mean, obviously it's a very emotional experience, but
yeah,
have you heard back from people who've been through the project? Have they talked about lasting effects of having an experience like this?
Most definitely. I can think of a few for sure. One, one of my photographers that usually helps me out during the group, she tells me that she brings a little booklet with her wherever she goes. So she just went to Alaska to do some business. She went to Nashville to do some business. She brings her little booklet to refer back to because she has, you know, her down days and she's feeling crummy about herself. And that's a reminder that, you know, these people love her. And this is really who she is who these people see. And then I had, after the teen group, my first teen group, that was a really difficult one because the girls were hesitant to share a little bit. And then I didn't really hear back from them afterward. I wasn't sure if it had really done much. I didn't really know what they thought. And then, like, about 2 months later, one of the girls who had actually just done the group because she wanted to job shadow me, she was the shyest girl that night. She barely talked except to share her insecurity. So she sends me this beautiful, beautiful card that just sent me to tears. And this write-up that she had done for her school newspaper, and it's this entire page about that night and what it meant to her and how she went into it as a job shadow and then came away as it being the best night of her life, and how she was shocked that these girls who she saw as being very strong, she didn't know them, but just initially, she could not believe that they felt similar ways about themselves that she did, being a very shy girl. So that was incredible to me. That one always stands out in my mind.
Now, one of the impulses that drove this project in the first place was not just making women and girls feel better about themselves, but because you saw people being so unkind to each other. So how do you take the next step? Does this impact how these women are treating other women, do you think?
I think it does. I mean, I've found that now. That was my main goal, really. That was the one thing I wanted to take away from it. I just thought, if there's anything we walk away doing or not doing, it's natural to look at people and kind of process it in your head and put them in a group or something. But the second that some unkind thought about them comes to you, then, you know, think about the fact that they have people that love them. They probably have things very, very much in common with yourself as well. And that has happened. That has happened. I know it's happened for myself. I know it's happened for, at least the majority of those that have done it. I've heard back from them that way. So it's just you just become a little more aware, I guess. And you just think about the fact that these people are probably very similar to you and you probably have a lot in common. You can't get to know everybody all the time, but this just kind of puts it in perspective really quickly. And I don't know, it's just one of the first things that comes to mind now, because I naturally still have those thoughts, but it helps to knock that out.
So you just stop and think, wait, I don't know what's going on inside this person.
Exactly. I mean, because people are going to be cruel too. I mean, you're going to meet somebody that you want to categorize them into something, but you don't know the kind of day they're having. You don't know the thoughts that they're having about themselves. You don't know these things. So it helps to definitely keep that in mind.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what brought you to Iowa. Alana Taminga is here with me today of Tacoma, Washington. She is the founder of the Raw Honest Loved Project, which you can find on Facebook. You can also look for her blog, where she shares photos, mostly of women and girls who share their deepest insecurity, and then learn how other people see them. We'll talk about the journey that brought her to Iowa in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're talking about a project called the Raw, Honest, Loved Project. It's a project that was founded by Alana Taminga of Washington State, where she asks, in the beginning, it was just women, to share their deepest insecurities. And they would write a paragraph, and then other people in their lives would talk about their greatest strengths. And it's also a photography project. You can find it online on Facebook at Women Raw, Honest, Loved. And also you can search for her blog as well with the same keywords. And Alana, a little while ago, you got a message from a high school girl in Decorah, Iowa. Can you tell me about that message?
Yeah, Becca wrote me in, I think it was December, and she just had found my project, or another girl had found my project online in a project that she was doing. And so she just kind of relayed it to Becca, and Becca contacted me because she wanted to do an end-of-the-year paper, basically, about self-esteem, self-worth, and wanted to include my project as a part of it. Just speaking to me, not necessarily doing it, but just kind of knowing what I was doing, why I was doing it. So we started talking since that point. And it basically evolved because in January, a friend of mine and my friend Leslie, who went down there with me to do this group with them, who we've had for about 20 years, her 14-year-old son killed himself. And it was devastating for us, and we didn't quite know how to handle that. And I mean, I have a 15-year-old daughter myself, too, so it, really struck home. And I told Becca about that because it was just part of, you know, self-esteem, self-worth. And then she shared with me that there have been about 4 kids in their community in basically her high school time that have also killed themselves. And I was devastated. It just hit me very hard emotionally. And I just thought, you know what, I don't know that this project can do anything to stop that, essentially. But if there's even a, you know, 0.1% of a chance, then it's worth trying, I guess.
And Rebecca Harz is on the line with us now. She is a senior at Decorah High School. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, when you reached out to Alana, when you found out about this project and you decided to get in touch with her, what was it about the project that really spoke to you?
I just feel that a lot of people don't know how to talk about their insecurities, or if they talk about it, people just say that they're complaining or just being negative. And I feel that that makes people feel that they can't talk about their insecurities, which is a really big problem. And I know myself, I have tried like working on self-esteem, and I just feel that this was a good way to see like how to do that with other people. And I knew that it was like going to help my project. And it just, I don't know, it was really amazing, the project, what she was doing, how she was getting so many different people, like different kinds of people together to talk about self-esteem and bring up their insecurities when insecurities aren't something that normally everyday people talk about.
Now, Alana mentioned the tremendous amount of loss that you had experienced in Decorah, losing 2 young people to accidents, 3 different young people to suicide, and then another suicide also occurred, right?
Yep.
Now, you have a good friend, Teresa, who has been working to raise awareness about suicide and the causes of suicide. And I know that a lot of people are working against bullying. And that's something that people tend to immediately think of when they think about young people committing suicide as a problem like bullying. But you have gone a different direction. What made you think, you know what, this is what we need to be talking about?
I feel that it's not the problem of social media or people saying negative things to other people on social media, obviously is a problem, but to focus on self-esteem and get yourself to realize how to better yourself and better other people's self-esteem, I feel that will fix those other problems. So self-esteem is the problem that we need to fix before those other problems can be fixed. Because people just feel so bad about themselves that they feel that they need to attack other people. And they're just so sad and they feel that they've been attacked so many times, so they might as well attack other people. Like, if other people don't care about them, why should they care about other people? And so I feel that by getting other people's self-esteem up and making your self-esteem up and just showing the importance of having a positive self-esteem, I feel that that is what will actually fix all those other problems that people see in today.
Now, Rebecca, I know originally you contacted Alana just to interview her, to find out more about her, write a paper, which a lot of high school seniors do. When did this turn into the idea of actually bringing her to Decorah?
It was only a few days after the interview when Alana emailed me again and asked if I would be willing to get some people together. And the more I thought about it, the group of girls I chose them very like specifically because I personally knew them all. But I knew that they would be able to do something like this because this project, it does take a lot of like personal strength to put your insecurity out there for everyone to see. And so I just felt that if other people saw that others were willing to put that out there and talk about their insecurities, because it's one thing to talk about your insecurities with your friends, and that's another thing to let everyone in the community know what your insecurity is. And so I felt that if this was shared through our community, because our community has had so many issues like this, that many more people would be willing, or hopefully many more people would be willing, to talk about insecurities and get help if they did need help.
And Alana, were you the one that actually proposed the idea of actually coming there?
I did, yes. It was because Leslie and I had talked about this because of the whole problem with suicide. It had impacted us so much that this was such an issue. And so we just thought, okay, let's try it. Let's just see if we can do it. We were ready to just bankroll it ourselves if we had to. But it just needed to happen.
Right. But you didn't end up bankrolling it yourselves. How did you raise money to make this happen?
That still gives me chills. I decided to do a GoFundMe and just see, because I had told people that I was talking to Rebecca, because I have people that, you know, follow the project online, and I knew that they cared about her already and they cared about the problem. And so I just thought, okay, I'm going to let them know, like, this is what we're thinking. We want to get there. Can you help us do this? Let's just see if we can do this. And so I got the price together of what it was all going to cost. And I put it out there, and people came through, and it still blows me away. But
Rebecca, were you surprised that so many people, and a lot of them in Tacoma, Washington, and in that area, so many people who had probably had never even heard of Decorah, Iowa, were mm-hmm. willing to do something to make this happen?
I guess I wasn't really much surprised, as in confused, because I don't know, I'm not one to want to make something that I'm doing really out there in public, and I've just never thought of, like, a lot of people caring so much about one specific topic. And to see all those different people who probably, like, they weren't, besides donating, they weren't even a part of the project. They weren't participating, wanting to help. It was just really confusing to see all of it happen. I didn't think that so many people would be willing to get involved. But it was a good feeling.
So, Rebecca, you gathered together a group of how many girls participated?
There were five others with me.
All right, so six of you total to do this project with Alana, and you had to bare your soul and talk about your insecurity. Can you tell us what you shared? I know a little bit just from Alana's Facebook page, but can you tell us a little bit more?
You want to know what my insecurity was?
Yeah.
My insecurity is my Twitter and Instagram name. It's Just Some Girl. And I made that back when I was about 11 years old, because it's just, I've had that feeling for so long that I was just another person. Like, maybe I was okay at some things. Maybe I was bad at some things. Everyone's bad at things. But I felt that there was just nothing special about me that would make me stand out from a crowd. And so it's always been like that. People have tried telling me, oh, no, you're good at this, you're good at this. And I'm like, there's so many more people that are better at that. I want to be great at something. I don't want to just be okay. And I just feel like I'm okay at just everything. And so I don't know, it's been there for a while, that feeling. But the more we talked about it in that group, every single one of us, that was our insecurity.
Wow. And you, just as with all of the projects that Alana does, you also got messages from people in your life who know you well and care about you. What do you think you learned about yourself from doing this?
I guess I've already always known that I'm a very headstrong, straightforward person, but people would always say negative comments about how straightforward I am. And in that book, two of the girls who were a part of the group, they were two that wrote for me, and both of them, a couple of their points were focused on how great of a personality and how great of a point in my personality that is, that how I'm like so straightforward and strong-willed. And it just, it made that bad trait that everyone else made bad seem like such a good trait.
Such a strength. Yeah.
It switched things around. It kind of switched the way I thought about it, because I've always thought of myself having that personality trait being so bad. And now I look at it a little better after that.
So you participated in this project with a group, a total group of six girls. And for each one of you, I'm sure it was a very powerful experience. How do you think you can take that experience and what you learned? I hope it changes how you think about yourself, but how do you think that all of you can take that into the community in Decorah High School and the town of Decorah and make it a more positive place for young people?
I'm not exactly sure how the other girls are going to handle it, but how the project got started, well, how I started interviewing Alana was because of this Comp 2 class semester-long project that you pick one topic, and that's your topic that you do the whole semester. You do papers on it, and then you do one big presentation. And I chose mine as self-esteem. And through the interview and talking to her over emails, I learned so much. But then I think that experience I'm going to put in my papers and my presentation a lot, and I'm hoping to give my presentation to the eighth graders at the middle school here in Decorah, because one of the hardest transitions in life besides going into college is going into high school, because that's where a lot of people change friendships and a lot of people figure out who they are or struggle with who they are. And I feel if I would give the eighth graders this presentation, they would go in with a better mindset and they wouldn't worry so much about, oh, maybe that girl's thinking my outfit looks bad today. They would focus on more positive things. They would focus on maybe that girl's staring at my outfit because she likes it. I think everyone just focuses on too much negativity all the time, that they just assume everything is negative. And so I want to pull the negative thoughts away and show them that things can be positive. You can think well about yourself and you won't seem to be stuck up.
Rebecca, you are truly a remarkable young woman. And
I agree.
Alana, I'm curious. I mean, you came all the way to Decorah, Iowa to do this project. It's a it's a beautiful idea. It's a fairly simple idea. Is it something that you want people to mimic? Do you want people to try to do this on their own?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. There's no way I could get it everywhere. I would love that. I just think it's positive. It helps. The communication again is power. So yeah, sitting down, being real, being honest and being open, I think just does a lot. What I would love is to have the project page be a hub for that. I would love for people to do it and send that stuff to me so that I can share it with everyone else. I think it would be an amazing kind of movement.
And what do you think you learned from talking to Rebecca and her friends in Decorah?
Oh man, I was talking to some friends yesterday about how the timing of this is still kind of difficult for me, because I'm still emotionally kind of reeling from this group. It was super impacting. These girls are amazing. I mean, as you can hear with Rebecca, they have so much to offer. And, you know, Leslie and I can see ourselves in them and what they're experiencing right now. Like, that's, you know, we've lived it. We were feeling that way in high school too. We've felt it since then. And so I'm just hoping for them that they don't take it away as much as we did. You know, this is something that maybe they can quash now and know that they are absolutely good enough and better than that, and to like hold their heads high and be there for others. But that was a lot of what we talked about, is being able to support others and just be there.
Alana, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Alana Tominga is the founder of the Raw Honest Loved Project. You can find her project on Facebook under Women Raw Honest Loved. You can also search with those keywords and find her blog online. And Rebecca, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Rebecca Harz is a senior at Decorah High School, and she managed to bring the Raw Honest Love Project to Decorah. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.